Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, text number 21 and 22 for discussion. Text number 21 on the board. Kindly repeat. Iti aham munibhi prishta tatva jigyasubhistada yadavocham aham tebhyas तदुद्धव निबोधमे इति अहम् मुनिभिः पृष्टः तत्त्वजिज्ञासुभिस्तदा यदवोचम् अहम् तेभ्यः तदुद्धव निबोधमे इति अहम् मुनिभिः पृष्टः तत्त्वजिज्ञासुभिस्तदा यदवोचमहं तेभ्यः तदुद्धव निबोध मे Matajis. We'll see the word-to-word translation. Iti, thus. Aham, I, Munibhi, by the sages, Prishtaha, question, Tattva, the truth about the goal of yoga, Jigyasubhi, by those desiring to know, Tada, at that time, Yat, that which, Avocham, spoke, Aham, I, Tebhyaha, unto them, Tat, that, Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, Nibodha, please learn, me, from me. Translation, my dear Uddhava, the sages, being eager to understand the ultimate truth of the yoga system, thus inquired from me. Now please hear as I explain that which I spoke unto the sages. No purport for this shloka, so we'll read the shloka, translation and purport of the next shloka, text number 22. Vastuno yadi ananatva atmanah prashna idrishah katham ghateta vo vipra vakturva meka ashrayah. Translation. My dear brahmanas, if when asking me who I am, you believe that I am also a jiva soul and that there is no ultimate difference between us, since all souls are ultimately one without individuality, then how is your question possible or appropriate? Ultimately, what is the real situation or resting place both of yourselves and of me? Purport. Ashraya means the resting place or shelter. Lord Krishna's question, which is, quote, what is our actual resting place or shelter, unquote, means, quote, what is our ultimate nature or constitutional position, unquote. This is Because no one can come to rest or be satisfied unless one is in one's natural position. The example is given that one may travel all over the world, but ultimately one becomes satisfied by returning to one's own home. Similarly, a crying child is satisfied when embraced by its own mother. By inquiring about the shelter or resting place of himself and the Brahmanas, the Lord is indicating the eternal constitutional position of every living entity. If Lord Krishna were also in the Jiva category, and if all the living entities including him were thus equal, there would be no deep purpose in one living entity inquiring and another answering. Only one who is in a superior position can meaningfully answer important questions. It may be argued that the bona fide spiritual master answers all the questions of the disciple, and yet the guru is in the Jiva category. The answer is that the bona fide spiritual master speaks not on his own behalf, but as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in the Vishnu category. A so-called guru speaking on his own behalf as a Jiva soul is useless and is unable to meaningfully answer serious questions. Thus the sage's question, "Ko Bhavan, who are you?" indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally an individual soul. And because the sages headed by Lord Brahma offered obeisances and worshipped the Lord, it is understood that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma, as the first created being in this universe, could not accept any other living entity except the Lord as worshipable. Lord Krishna's actual purpose is to explain the ultimate perfection of yoga, which the sages were desiring to know. If one becomes fixed in transcendental knowledge, the mutual attraction between the material mind and the material sense objects automatically ceases. The spiritual mind is not attracted to material objects of gratification, and thus by spiritualizing the mind, material existence automatically slackens. By questioning the propriety of the sage's question, the Lord is assuming the position of the spiritual master and preparing to give valuable instructions. One should never be envious of a bona fide spiritual master, especially if, as in the case of Lord Hamsa, speaking to the sages headed by Brahma and Sanak Kumar, the Guru is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Here we are seeing that there was a question from Brahma, Ko Bhavan, who are you? And in reply to that, Lord Brahma is now answering. So now these kind of questions, who are you? I know Vishnu, he has a four-handed form. And right now you are in the form of a Hamsa, a swan. And there's a reason why he appeared in the form of a swan. Swan has a unique ability to separate water from milk. So why has Lord Krishna appeared here? Yes, Lord Krishna has appeared here to separate the mixed up consciousness, the mixed up mentality of the sages headed by Lord Brahma. So specifically he comes in that form. He takes that quality. So how many times throughout history has some living entity, some ordinary person put forward a question in front of the Supreme Lord? We know so many passages. Lord Brahma asked questions, what is the purpose of my existence when he was born? Arjuna is asking, what am I supposed to do? What is my duty here? So many times Arjuna, other than the Gita in Mahabharata, means he has a personal access to Krishna, he will ask so many questions to Krishna. So many times, sometimes we get asked some questions, and sometimes I have seen how sometimes I'm exhausted, sometimes I'm just tired, you know, you speak a class, sometimes the audience is not really in a mood to listen. And then after all that, you know, finally when you get off the Vyasasana, and then again somebody says, I want to ask you a question. It's actually a challenge to keep that same kind of enthusiasm, to again put energy into first understanding the question properly and then giving a suitable answer so as to not squelch the desire that he has, the jigyasa. Very rare that people ask questions related to spiritual life. Most questions are about eating, sleeping, meeting and defending, is it not? So out of all those general topics of questions, how to earn money and so on, the typical question, hardly somebody comes to the temple, hardly somebody sits in the class, and hardly somebody after hearing the class actually develops a question. So here he is somebody who's evolved spiritually. Millions of lifetimes later in the human form of life, now he has come to a point where he is saying, I heard something from you and I want to go deeper into it. I want to ask a question. At that time, if the speaker is not really in the right mood to reciprocate with that question by giving him a suitable answer, a sensitively relevant answer, can you imagine the disservice that can happen? So recently I had an experience like that. You know, typically when I'm traveling, people have these strange questions when they see somebody in saffron. One of the most typical questions is, are you married? When some outsider, a Westerner will ask us this question, that's okay. Can an Indian ask this question, are you married? So then how do you answer this question? As I mentioned, you know, you don't get angry. You don't get irritated. At least he's asking. He didn't come to a conclusion by himself. You know, that is something to be really praised in the age of Kali. Kali means I already know. I am just trying to test your knowledge by asking you a question. So good that at least he's asking me a question, is it not? So recently somebody asked me a question that, are you married? So I said, no. So are you planning to marry? So as far as I can see, currently, nothing like that on the cards. So he's saying, I was thinking at that time, you know, usually while traveling, people do ask these strange questions. And there have been instances where internally I was thinking, come on, you know, don't ask this question. This is not a good question to ask. But then this time, I saw some sincerity on his face. And I said, let me give a good answer to him. So then I asked him a question, why are you asking this question? So then he told me, you know, I heard this class and I've been hearing your classes. And then he said, me and my wife were discussing yesterday night that how could this person at this age, you know the Gita so much. For him,
Even a little is too much. So that's why he's saying like that. But how did he know? So we both were yesterday discussing about you, and we were thinking that, you know, we need to go deeper into this. So then the real purpose was revealed. So the real purpose was not to test my brahmacharya. The real purpose was not to poke me. Are shaadi kar lo, something like that. People have their own. It was actually some serious thought that he and his wife were having, and based on whatever interactions they had, they decided to go deeper into spiritual life. So as soon as I saw some sincerity, and that's why I answered in a very reasonable way. And then they said, you know, would you come to our home? Because we, both of us, want to ask you some questions. So then I understood that in today's times, you know, people are ill-trained or less trained. How to ask a question is an art. How to put it in the right words is another art. How to ask it in the right mood, even after you have the right words and the right question, that's also an art. And who knows anything here, is it not? Kali Yuga means we know everything about mundane affairs. So then, you know, it was revealed that actually the question was a genuine question, although it was framed in an improper way. So this is just to tell you that, you know, Lord Krishna has been asked so many times by so many personalities. Brahma right from his birth, and so many times in between. Last time when Krishna was here, he again could not understand who is Krishna. Here he is, Ko Bhavan, who are you? When Krishna appeared in his original form as Shyam Sundar, again he could not understand. That's why he tested. That's why Brahma Vimohan Leela took place. So many times, some of his most trustworthy devotees have failed to understand Krishna. Parvati Devi misunderstands the appearance of Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ramchandra is kind of anxious and transcendentally mad in separation from Sita Devi. Sita Devi has been kidnapped and Lord Ramchandra is searching for her. And he appears like an ordinary person. He's asking the trees, he's asking the deer, he's asking the birds, have you seen Sita? Have you seen Sita? And Parvati Devi and Shiva, Lord Shiva, they see him, and Parvati Devi, is he the Supreme Lord that you're talking of? You meditate on Lord Ramchandra's name? He is acting like an ordinary person. So Lord Shiva says, don't worry. But then Parvati Devi does what she is not supposed to do. So she takes on the form of Sita Devi. This is there in the Ramayana. And she goes and faces Lord Ramchandra in the jungle. And what does Lord Ramchandra do? He appears to be not in his original consciousness. He is not sane in that sense. As soon as he sees Parvati Devi dressed as Sita, in the form of Sita, he says, Mother, what are you doing here? Parvati Devi, what are you doing here? So she blushes. Because she is trying to trick Krishna. Brahmaji tried to trick Krishna, but failed. So similarly, Parvati Devi also, she blushes. Shh, he is seeing me as a mother and I dressed up myself as his wife. Immediately she changes her form, says sorry, goes and begs forgiveness even from Lord Shiva. You told me not to test him. So why I am saying this? We get irritated by questions from somebody who are strangers. And it could be considered okay. Yes. What if somebody whom you know very well, some of your close friends, some of your people who take inspiration from you, they keep asking you questions repeatedly? It becomes really heavy for us. But from these incidents, we can first meditate on this fact. When people ask you questions, please do not look at the words of the questions, please look at the mood of the question. And if you can learn this art of going deeper into the heart of that person, or judging from his the tone of his voice, the facial expressions, if you can understand that, no, he is a genuine person who is asking a genuine question, maybe not trained to put it properly, we should go that extra mile and answer that question in a genuine way, at least in front of the Supreme Lord. You know, we are clean. Whenever anybody asked me a question, I tried my best to answer him. How does Shukdeva Goswami or how do the Bhagavatam speakers respond to questions? Parikshit Maharaj sometimes asks a question. Varyan eshate prashna. Krito loka hitam naripa. Oh, my dear Parikshit, you are asking me a question. Varyan. It is a very great question. I am really encouraged by your question. So many times in spiritual organizations today, there is so much emphasis on faith. There is so much emphasis on obedience. There is so much emphasis on submission. What about the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is saying, I am really happy you are asking me a question, because your question is not a doubt on my ability to answer it. Your question represents your eagerness to know deeper the same substance that I have been speaking on. Sometimes it is mentioned, Variya Aneshate Prashna, or sometimes, you know, it will be mentioned. What is that? You know, such questions should be asked, because such questions when asked not only benefit the person who asks the question, but it also benefits the passive listeners. They may also have a question, but they may not ask it properly. So always, the mood in the Bhagavatam and the Gita is that of encouragement. And why am I sharing this? Because all of us are representing the Supreme Lord. So as Vaishnavas, we also need to learn these things from Krishna. How to be sensitive towards people who are asking questions. Somebody told me, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Swami Maharaj was once traveling. And somebody sitting next to him in the airplane, he asked him a question. He said, actually, I don't believe in the absolute truth. I don't believe that there is something called as an absolute truth. How will you answer this? So Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj put it nicely. He said, is that an absolute statement? So when you say you don't believe in absolute truth, that itself is an absolute statement. Yes, you have not tasted, you have not gone through all the pages of all the books and not checked out every single living entity in this world to make that there is no absolute truth. So this is also an art, you know, how to decode that question. Somebody asked Prabhupada, what is this tuft of hair behind you? Yes, strange question. Then Prabhupada said, what is that thing hanging from your neck? The necktie. What is the piece of the cloth was supposed to cover the body? What is this small piece of cloth hanging from here? So he got stumped. One time there was one person who kept on asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why do sadhus from India, this is in the West, why do they have this kashaya color? Why do they have this saffron color? So Prabhupada gave some answers. Why the saffron color? Many answers to this. One is that, you know, it does not get soiled very easily. As a sadhu, usually you don't have much money. You don't have much access to regular places of bathing and like that, if you are a typical sadhu. So sometimes it gets dirty. The cloth gets dirty. The white cloth, little dirt on it, you know, somewhere while traveling, something gets brushed here. Immediately it looks dirty, is it not? This cloth, it's difficult to spot it. Symbol of renunciation. One answer that I heard from Govind Prabhu long time back is, this is the color of fire. So fire means, you put anything in fire, it gets consumed. So this is, you know, indication to us who are wearing this saffron, our life is supposed to be put into sacrifice for the welfare of others, for the service of Krishna. Another point that I heard one time is, you know, saffron, kesar bolte hai na, you mix it into milk and it flavors the milk. But what happens at the end is, it dissolves itself. So it dissolves itself and gives flavor to the milk for others' enjoyment. So this saffron color is supposed to dissolve itself. Another thing that I heard from His Holiness Pejavar Swami, again quoted by somebody else. He was asked, what is sannyas? He said, sannyas means just check whether what you took from society and what you are giving to society, what is more. So Pejavar Swami from Udupi answered, sannyas basically means you give more to society than what you have taken from society. This is sannyas. So again, it's about giving, sacrificing. So Prabhupada gave a lot of answers. We are not very sure about what answers he gave, but these are different understandings that we have heard. So he's giving. No, but still, why saffron? Again he gave an answer. No, but why still saffron? So 4 or 5 times this happened. But why saffron of all the colors? Then Prabhupada said, any color, no? So saffron. Any color? So okay, so I chose saffron. So what's your problem? So Prabhupada was very intelligent. You know, he would first answer the questions. But then if he saw there was this adamancy, you know, this kind of unnecessary wall kind of a imaginary structure there, then he would just hit it hard. Now, when we talk of Prabhupada's answers like this, you know, these quick-witted answers. Ambarish Prabhu Alfred Ford, the great-grandson of Henry Ford, when he came to visit Prabhupada, one devotee introduced him. Prabhupada, this is Alfred Ford. He's the great-grandson of the great Henry Ford. What was Srila Prabhupada's first response to it? Prabhupada asked him a question. He said, oh, you're the great-grandson of the Henry Ford? Where is he now? आपके दादाजी इतने अमीर थे, इतने बड़े व्यक्ति हैं, इतने जाने माने व्यक्ति हैं, अभी कहाँ हैं? And he says, that first interaction with Prabhupada, that question just hit me. Where is my great grandfather now? It means there is a reality after life. And then he immediately, you know, generally rich people, when you are famous, you carry an air. So that air was there. But when he met Prabhupada and when he heard this question, where is he now? He said, I immediately got grounded. This person is on a different level and I should basically submit to him and understand what is he trying to tell me. So one time there is an incident of how Srila Prabhupada went to some interview, news reporters. Today there's a lot of talk of interviews, you know, interviewing Hare Krishna devotees. So Prabhupada was once called to a television interview. And there were a lot of questions. And then timed, the interview's timed. So cut, okay. The interview is done. And then Prabhupada was still there, sitting. And he kept on talking to the interviewer. So half an hour of interview on television with camera being viewed by millions of people. But post that, the camera is switched off, the crew goes away, the interviewer is still sitting there. Prabhupada kept on talking to him, Prabhupada kept on having conversation with him. So devotees who were there with Prabhupada, they say, Prabhupada was never after the glamour. It was not that because I am going on television and because so many people will watch me, I have to put up a show. Let me become a more sincere answerer, a replier, one who gives replies. He said, he was looking for anybody with a genuine attitude to know. And in that interviewer, he saw, he's asking on behalf of the channel, but he himself also had some genuineness in his asking questions. So even after the camera goes off, Prabhupada spent half an hour with that person answering his questions. Nobody is knowing. Nobody knows what he spoke. But he spoke. And there are instances where Prabhupada, you know, somebody is trying to play games, Prabhupada just cut him off. No, you are not a sincere person. One miss South America, somewhere in Mexico or something like that, this happened. Hridayanand Maharaj speaks this story. She came to meet Prabhupada and, you know, in a typical beauty queen, she's just smiling all the time, putting up a false. And then after that small interaction, she didn't have much to share, she didn't have much to learn. She's leaving and said, okay, Swamiji, see you again. That's what they say. Prabhupada asked, why do you want to see me again? Because we had a conversation 5 minutes, you barely talked. I didn't see any questions from you. When I was speaking to you, you didn't even listen. It was just a formality. So now while going, you are asking me, you want to see me again, what for? So then she understood, when I'm talking with Prabhupada, it is not an ordinary conversation. This is a highly advanced spiritual personality and we better take care of our words when we talk. So there is one Subhashit which says, Sambhojanam samkathanam samprashnaha atha samagamaha. Three things are mentioned. Sambhojanam. Have good meals. Samkathanam. Speak your heart, hear from them. And then it is samprashnaha. Samprashna means ask good questions. With whom? So it is mentioned. Gyati bhi sah karyani. Gyati bhi. जो ज्ञानवान है, जिनके पास ज्ञान है, ज्ञाति भी सह कार्याणि, इनके साथ में ये कार्य करने चाहिए. Have nice meals with them. Have nice talks with them and ask them relevant questions. ज्ञाति भी सह कर्माणि न विरोधः कदाचन. When some intelligent person is sitting next to you, take advantage of his association. Don't condemn him, don't argue with him unnecessarily. Serious questions allowed. Sometimes there is this talk about, there was this post going around saying 33 crore demigods. Is it actually, because in Sanskrit they say 33 koti. And then in Sanskrit there is another meaning of the word koti. And then somebody came up with an alternative definition of that. So then it is, you know, 11 Rudras and so many Maruts and 2 Ashwini Kumaras. Aisa karke 33 ho jata hai number. So it's not actually 33 crore demigods, it's actually 33 demigods and the koti they translate in another way. Pure speculation. And why I'm not ready to accept it? 33 crore administrators of this universe. Why am I not ready to accept it? I don't know them. Pata nahi mujhe. Kaun hai, kya hai, dikhte to nahi hai mere saamne. So one of our devotees, Shyamanand Prabhu, he one time answered this. He said, When we travel by Indian Railways, if anybody knows, Indian Railways is the second largest employer of employees in the world. The first is GE, General Electric. So Indian Railways is the maximum number of employees. Could be 33 crore, I'm not sure. So he's saying, when we travel by Indian Railways, do we know everyone who's, you know, somebody's cleaning the compartment, somebody's running the train, somebody's signaling and so on. It's a huge system. Somebody's maintaining. Do we know everyone? As long as my job is done, you know, main train mein jab gaya to sab kuch theek hai. It goes, takes me to the right destination. Everything is okay. I never complained. Please show me the employee register, you know, register of all the 33 crore employees. So what's this huge fuss about, you know, I want to know all the 33 crore demigods. Anyways, we also had mentioned that, you know, there is this famous speaker called Simon Sinek. And he has this concept of the golden circle of communication. You could check it after this class. So he's saying, generally when two people are communicating, the outermost circle is basically the question, what? Whenever a teacher speaks to a student, whenever parents speak to their wards, whenever friends speak to their friends, usually it is, what? You should do this. You should not do this. Why didn't you do this? I had told you to do that. What? Then he says, most people keep speaking about what. Very few people out of that go to the inner circle, which is how. You know, all of us have experience when people instruct us, it kind of puts us off. But when they also explain how to do it, it helps. Some knowledge helps. So probably we are wondering, how to do this? This is very difficult. And then he explains it. So that's better, he says. And then he says, extremely few people go to the innermost circle of communication, which is answering the question, why? I don't know, so many youngsters, when they talk about spirituality, they say, there is a culture at my home. We should do puja, we should serve the Supreme Lord. But whenever I ask my parents, why should I do that? My parents never had an answer to that question. And that's why I'm put off. So most youngsters who are intelligent, who are very knowledgeable, who know how to do what, they are basically looking for answers to the question, why? And if that why is not answered, then there is rampant confusion. So why are youngsters going away from spiritual life in general? It's because nobody is answering their questions why. As soon as you answer the question why, how and what can be figured out by them. So one prominent disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he has this experience. He says, I grew up in a Roman Catholic family in America. He said, every time my parents would take me to God, very religious, we would go to a church and the father would speak something from their scriptures. And he would sometimes feel their scriptures have this version. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. So it just happens by God's will. They don't have details. The second canto of the Bhagavatam, the third canto of the Bhagavatam, ample details about how creation takes place step by step. But their books, they don't have those detailed descriptions. So two lines. And God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. So he had some questions and he went to the father, the person who was speaking, and asked him these questions. What did the father say? The first time he asked that question, he said, you are a nice child. You need lot of love. That's a very comforting answer, but does not solve the problem. What does it mean you need lot of love? Basically, he is saying, if I tell you the truth, I don't know the answer, you'll get put off. So you need a lot of love. Anyway, he was a good religious boy. He again asked this question. Some other question, another day. So he said, if you keep asking such questions, it shows your lack of faith in. Don't ask such questions. And he even complained to Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's parents that your child is kind of a, you know, I don't want to use that word here, not a good person. So Christianity mein heretic bolte hai. Heretic matlab, he will question the basics of Christianity. Not a good person. So when this feedback was given to him by his parents, he said, this is the last day I'm going to any religious place. I'm just asking a sincere question. Why don't you answer it? So many questions. How does God look? What are God's activities? So another time he asked a question. If everything happens just by the will of God, after creation has taken place, abhi ho gaya na creation, sab kuch ho gaya, brahmand ban gaya abhi. Right now, what is God doing? But it must be quite boring. You know, you said, let there be light, there was light. Let there be creation, there was creation. Now what to do? Eternity. Nothing to do. So he asked this question, what is God doing right now? You. So he said, this is the last day. And then he said, when he met Prabhupada, very prolific author, very intelligent person, he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know why I stuck to you? Because you answered my questions. You not only told me why, you also told me how, you also told me what. Of course, the most important part is the why. But you know, you need answers, you need details. Is it not? If every time somebody just shows you the stick, you don't go long in spiritual life. So, we are talking of Krishna, we are talking of Krishna's representatives who also stick to their version. So when Krishna speaks something in the second chapter, is it that by 16th chapter he changes his version? Second chapter he speaks, you are not a body, you are spirit soul. And 16th chapter he says, I had a second thought actually. Nothing like that. All the Puranas, massive Puranas, Padma Puran, Skanda Puran, Brahma Vaivarta Puran, Garuda Puran, Narada Puran, Bhagavata Puran, you check for the consistency. Everywhere the version of the answer remains the same. Is it not? That's an amazing thing. You know what it means? It means the Lord is not answering questions to please somebody. The Lord is answering questions based on what is the truth. And truth never changes. Na sate vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata. What is truth? It does not change. Okay, now there was this point mentioned here. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Lord. So He is great. He won't change. Vishnu does not change. What about His pure representatives? Shukdev Goswami speaks something in the first canto. Is it that by 12th canto he changes? He is a jiva. Is it a Srila Prabhupada in Gita he speaks something, and in Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is a higher study, in Bhagavatam he gives a different answer? Nothing like that. So one thing is very nice, that the Supreme Lord does not change his answers, and his pure representatives also never change his answers. Those answers remain constant. It means when we answer questions, we also have to answer it based on the version of the Lord and version of the Acharyas. The more we contaminate our answers with our understanding, unless we are really mature, unless we have really read the scriptures forward, backward, upwards, downwards, we should honestly admit, if I have not read the Bhagavatam completely, if I have not read the Chaitanya Charitamrita completely, we should accept this. As per my limited understanding, as per my limited knowledge, whatever I have read, whatever I have heard, I want to put forward this. But there could be another higher version of this. My answer is not the absolute answer. I do not claim to have all the understanding. And sometimes what happens is, in order to, match up to the expectations of the crowd, of the audience, there is a thought that comes. Just give an answer. And then what happens is, sometimes we may ourselves come across a higher version of the answer, and then we think, but I spoke that answer, and I spoke it in a way that this is the final answer, this is the absolute answer. So basically what we did is, by our immature answers, we capped the growth of that devotee. Is it not? So as we are speaking about somebody giving constant answers, it's also relevant to mention one incident in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Supreme Lord changed his version of the answer. This is in reference to the residents of Kulina Gram. The residents of the Kulina Gram, they had a service of bringing silk ropes for the Jagannath Rath Yatra every year. So from Bengal, when they will travel to Puri, they will carry silk ropes. So one time, the residents of Kulina Gram, headed by Satyaraj Khan, Maladhar Vasu, they put forward a question in front of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, as they are leaving from the Rath Yatra. They said, we are Grihasthas, what is our duty? Lord Chaitanya said, two duties. You should chant the holy name always and serve the Lord's devotees, that is the Vaishnavas. Simple. What is the duty of Grihasthas? Chant the holy name always and serve the Vaishnavas. Then Lord, he is asking a very genuine question. He says, okay, now chanting the holy names is very clear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But how do I identify who is a Vaishnava? So then the Lord answers. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking.
Prabhu kahe jara mukhe shuni ekabar, Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakar.
जिनके मुख में से एक बार भी आपने हरि नाम सुना है वो वैष्णव है, उनकी सेवा करनी चाहिए. ओके, देन लॉर्ड चैतन्य गोज ऑन टू ग्लोरीफाई द होली नेम, हाउ होली नेम इज सो मर्सीफुल. एंड देन एट द एंड ही गिव्स अ कंक्लूजन. ही सेज, अतएव जार मुखे एक कृष्ण नाम से ही तो वैष्णव करीह ताहार सम्मान.
बिकॉज आई एक्सप्लेन टू यू व्हाट इज द मर्सी ऑफ द होली नेम एंड हाउ ग्रेट इज द होली नेम. जार मुखे एक बार, इफ समबडी हैज टेकन द होली नेम इवन वंस, तार करीह सम्मान, वी शुड ऑलवेज रिस्पेक्ट दैट पर्सन.
ओके, देन दे मूव टू बंगाल, दे टुक दैट लेसन. नेक्स्ट ईयर अगेन दे कम फॉर पुरी रथ यात्रा एंड एज दे आर लिविंग द नेक्स्ट ईयर दे अगेन अप्रोच लॉर्ड चैतन्य एंड आस्क द क्वेश्चन, वी आर गृहस्थस, व्हाट इज अवर ड्यूटी? व्हाट डज लॉर्ड चैतन्य से? लॉर्ड चैतन्य अगेन सेज, यू आर गृहस्थस, यू शुड चैंट द होली नेम्स एंड यू शुड सर्व द वैष्णवस. And again, the same person, Satyaraj Khan, he asks a question. Please tell us what are the lakshana, what are the qualities of a Vaishnav? So then somebody will say, same person who is answering the question, same person who is asking the question, what is this going on? This is a game or what? So it is mentioned, Lord Chaitanya, he laughed gently when he heard that question for the second time. And it is mentioned, he understood the mind of the devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Lord Chaitanya repeated, he heard that repeat question, but he understood the mind of Satyaraj Khan and he laughed a little bit and then he gave a second version of the answer. So first time what did he say? Jara mukhe shuni ek bar, Krishna naam sehi shrestha sabakar. Ek bar bhi sunenge to wo Vaishnav hai. Abhi second time he is answering now.
Krishna nama nirantara jahara vadane sehi Vaishnava shrestha bhajatahara charane.
Last time he had said, shrestha sabakar. So somebody who takes one holy name is shrestha among common society. This time he is mentioning jara vadane nirantara harinam sei vaishnava shrestha. So the Vaishnava is shrestha among society, but somebody who constantly chants the holy names is shrestha among Vaishnavas. He is taking the answer one level higher. Okay, they got that answer. Now it is mentioned the third year when they came to Bengal, again while leaving, Satyaraj Khan and his troop, he again approached Lord Chaitanya and again asked the same question, what is our duties? The same answer was given and again they asked, please tell us how to identify a Vaishnava. He said, Lord Chaitanya is saying,
Jahara darshane mukhe aise Krishna naam.
Jahara darshane mukhe aise Krishna naam. Now I am giving you the third version of the answer, who is a Vaishnava? Jisko dekhne matra se, आपके मुख में हरि नाम आएगा. सच ए ग्रेट पर्सनैलिटी, जस्ट बाय सीइंग हिम यू फील लाइक चैंटिंग द होली नेम्स.
जाहर दर्शने मुखे ऐसे कृष्ण नाम ताहर जानी ह तुमी वैष्णव प्रधान.
तो पहले श्रेष्ठ था, अभी प्रधान, सबसे ऊपर. जस्ट बाय लुकिंग एट हिम यू गेट इंस्पिरेशन टू चैंट द होली नेम्स. हिज पर्सनैलिटी, वन ऑफ द नेम्स ऑफ राधा रानी इज कृष्णमय. वन ऑफ द नेम्स ऑफ कृष्ण इज राधामय, कृष्णमयी एंड राधामय. व्हाट डज इट मीन? इट मीन्स व्हेन यू लुक एट राधा रानी, ऑल दैट शी इज मेड अप ऑफ इज रिमेम्बरेंस ऑफ कृष्ण, कॉन्शियसनेस ऑफ कृष्ण. शी इज कॉन्स्टेंटली थिंकिंग अबाउट कृष्ण, शी इज कॉन्स्टेंटली मेडिटेटिंग अबाउट कृष्ण. सो शी इज कॉल्ड कृष्णमय. सो प्योर डिवोटीज आर ऑल्सो कृष्णमय. यू नो, देयर वॉकिंग, देयर टॉकिंग, देयर वर्ड्स, एवरीथिंग रिमाइंड्स अस, पुल्स अस क्लोजर टू कृष्ण. अट्रैक्शन टू ए प्योर डिवोटी इज अ ट्रांसपेरेंट वे ऑफ गेटिंग अट्रैक्टेड टू कृष्ण. मोक्ष द्वारम अपावृतम. सो लॉर्ड चैतन्य गेव थ्री डिफरेंट आंसर्स टू द सेम क्वेश्चन. इज ही कॉन्ट्राडिक्टिंग द प्रिंसिपल दैट द लॉर्ड स्टेज कंसिस्टेंट इन हिज आंसर्स? सो एट द एंड कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी गिव्स अस दिस अंडरस्टैंडिंग टू नॉट गेट बिविल्डर्ड. ही सेज,
क्रम करी कहे प्रभु वैष्णव लक्षण.
क्रम करी, क्रम क्रम में बताया, फर्स्ट लेवल, सेकंड लेवल, थर्ड लेवल.
क्रम करी कहे प्रभु वैष्णव लक्षण वैष्णव वैष्णव तर आर वैष्णवतम वैष्णव वैष्णव तर एंड वैष्णवतम ही स्पोक अबाउट द जनरल क्वालिटीज ऑफ ए जनरल वैष्णव ऑफ somebody हु इज अ रियली ग्रेट वैष्णव एंड अ ग्रेटेस्ट वैष्णव सो इज दिस आंसर कंसिस्टेंट और इज दिस आंसर एवर चेंजिंग आंसर हाउ विल यू आंसर दिस क्वेश्चन डिड लॉर्ड चैतन्य चेंज हिज आंसर्स Or did Lord Chaitanya take you to a higher level of the same answer? So sometimes we see spiritual master in one situation he answered in one way. So okay, us din humne class mein suna tha, Shuddh Bhakt aur Bhagwan apna answer kabhi badalte nahi hai. And then another person asked that question and Guru Maharaj asked answers in a different way. He said, hey, how, this is contradicting the principle. No, he saw what is the consciousness of the person. So depending on the consciousness of the person and depending on how much he can gather, His vessel of acceptance, how deep it is. His faith in the words of his spiritual master, his faith in the words of the Supreme Lord, how much is his acceptance level? So Hindi mein ek shabd hai na patra. Patra matlab vessel. And in Hindi there's another word called patrata. Patrata means qualification. So just like to accept a nutritious meal, you need a patra. Without a plate, without a bowl, you cannot eat. You need a vessel to catch food and then you put it into your mouth. You can take it in your hands. So just like patra is required for nourishment to the body, patrata, how deep is your faith? How much can you accept? Patrata is required for accepting nourishment for the spirit soul. And that's why sometimes elevated personalities give different versions of the same answer. They can go up and down depending on the situation. So we just had this nice understanding that was shared by Bal Govind Prabhu. Recently we had a devotee care course and I thought this is a good opportunity to share this. That when two people talk with each other and one person is in distress and another person has some solutions, he gave four models of communication. So, these four ways in which you can help somebody, because we are talking of answering questions and helping somebody. The first he said is a model called teaching. Teaching is very much didactic. I also did some research on this. So I am also adding my understanding to this. So teaching is basically didactic. Didactic means one person speaks and everyone else hears. Very less talking from the listener. So when somebody needs to know something and he asks a person and that person is a teacher, it means the teacher is a wise person. He has a lot of knowledge, but he has very less ability to hear. A teacher is basically a speaker. तो एक सवाल पूछ लिया आपने अभी दो घंटे के लिए चुप अभी हम बोलेंगे आप सुनेंगे दैट्स अ टीचर ही इज एन एक्सपर्ट ऑन द सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑन विच दैट पर्सन इज आस्किंग द क्वेश्चन एंड ही इज फोकसिंग मोर ऑन द सॉल्यूशन पार्ट ही डज नॉट गो मच इन द प्रॉब्लम पार्ट आपने पूछ लिया ना अभी सब मालूम है हमको क्या है अभी पूरा जवाब देंगे आपको स्टेप बाय स्टेप अभी केवल आप सुनिए और लिखिए ही इज अ टीचर द सेकेंड हायर लेवल देन दिस I should not call it a higher level. This is another model of helping somebody. This is called consulting. So first was teaching, this is consulting. Consulting is where there is more introduction of give and take. The questioner gets more chance to speak. So the consultant is also a very wise person. He is also an expert on the subject matter. But he kind of does not give the full length answer at one go. He gives an answer, then he says, did you understand? Then he again says, no, I didn't understand. There's a little more back and forth. He's called a consultant. So in the outside world, you know, consultants get paid a lot. What consultants can do is, they can give you a solution for your needs. It's, in English, it's called a turnkey project. You want to set up a factory of what, maybe to manufacture one chemical. Let's, for example, say chlorine factory. You want to manufacture chlorine. So then they will ask you, okay, I'm an expert in setting up a chlorine factory. What are your needs? So he says, I have also a need of storing it. So then he will give you a customized solution. It means he has to be an expert, but there's also some customization. That's called a consulting. He focuses more on the problem part because back and forth. I gave you a solution. Did it work for you? He says, no, it did not work for me. Okay, I'll give you another solution which is a little customized. And he is not having a really formal role of guiding you because he is giving a lot of opportunity for the questioner to ask. He is putting a lot of responsibility on the question also. If you ask me the right questions, I can give you customized answers. But the responsibility lies on the questioner.
टीचिंग में क्या हो गया, एक सवाल पूछ लिया अभी पूरा डिटेल आंसर बता दिया उन्होंने. द थर्ड वे ऑफ डीलिंग इज कॉल्ड काउंसिलिंग, कॉमन वर्ड इन इसकॉल. बट वॉट इज काउंसिलिंग? काउंसिलिंग इज बेसिकली ट्राइंग टू हैव ए सपोर्टिव फंक्शन. इट इज मोर टू डू नॉट विद द सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ द टॉक बट टू डील विद द इमोशनल हर्ट दैट समटाइम्स पीपल गेट इन टू वेन दे आर डीलिंग विद द वर्ल्ड. सो दिस पर्सन इज आस्किंग क्वेश्चन हाउ टू डू दिस, बट अ काउंसिलर विल नॉट फोकस ऑन द सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ द क्वेश्चन. ही विल से यू लुक एग्जॉस्टेड टूडे, इज एवरीथिंग ओके इन योर लाइफ? Is a well, actually, you know what, last 1 week I have been sleeping late, getting up early, that's why I look exhausted. But how come you're exhausted? They said, you know, I chanted my rounds late in the night, something like that. So he focuses on the deeper issue. He's not answering the questions. So he need not be an expert in the subject matter of the question. But he is kind of acting as support, he's kind of acting as an inspiration. So counseling can be done by people who may not be experts in the technical subject, but they have to have a lot of tolerance, they have to have a lot of patience, and they have to have a lot of inspiration themselves. Because when you keep hearing problems of others, it takes a lot of energy to absorb all that negativity and then to give positive, hope-oriented solutions to the person who's asking those questions. So it's more of a supportive function. He's trying to give more of an emotional stability to that person. Then comes the fourth model, which is called coaching. So coaching is not really a popular word in ISKCON, but it's a very popular word in the outside world. So what is coaching? Coaching is where this person is definitely not an expert in the subject matter, but he will also not be kind of an emotional support to that person. He is somebody who can ask you the right questions at the right time and make you answer your questions. So when you come in front of a coach, life coach, you put forward some query. I'm really done with this person. He fights with me, I fight with him, we can't even look at each other's face. So a counselor, you know, he will say, I know how it feels. I know when the heart is broken, it really feels bad. Comforting. The consultant will ask you a question, what was the subject matter of the fight? How did it start? Then he says, it started like this. Okay, what was the reason when you fought second time? More give and take. And the teacher, if you tell him, I'm done with this person, he says, okay, sit here. Now I'll give you a 2-hour seminar on the art of friendship. Point number one. Point number two. F for this. I for this. R for this. You know, long lecture. And what is coaching? Coaching is, okay, you have a tiff with this person. What do you think are the changes that are happening in your life after you broke up with this person? There's no solution. He's just asking you a question. And he has to think and he says, well, since I broke up with this person, life is peaceful. No more tension. Okay, that's nice. Now, could you also tell me the disadvantages that happened in your life after you broke up with your friend? He says, well, to tell you the truth, I lost one trustworthy friend. Pehle kuch bhi hota to isko jaake bolta tha, abhi koi nahi bacha mere jeevan mein. So now you have to weigh. Are your advantages more or are your disadvantages more? So again, he's put into thinking. What is more? Then he says, actually, disadvantages are more. Advantages are less. So, if that is the truth, would you like to make up with this person? They say, no, not possible. Ek bar toot gaya to abhi nahi karenge. Okay. What are the advantages of continuing in this mode? So, it seems that, you know, it's like a very long drawn process and sometimes it could also appear boring. It takes expertise. But the point is, because you ask counter questions and get the solutions, make him go deeper into his problems and try to get solutions from him, what happens is, he cannot refuse the solutions. He accepts responsibility for the solutions and he puts his best in trying to answer, in trying to come up with solutions for that problem. In the third one, there was no solution, it was just a supportive. The first two were basically, the solutions were coming from the person who was answering those questions. So sometimes what happens is, after some time, the person who got those solutions, he stops midway and he says, this is too much. Because this solution did not come from me, this solution came from the person who answered my questions. So it's unke solutions, na mere nahi hai ye. So many times the first two models, they have, in an emergency, don't get into coaching. As I mentioned, it's a long-run process. So when it's an emergency, you know, somebody is saying, I am finished. You need to give him a talk right there, right now. It's not a coaching model. So all these four models are good in certain situations. Small kids, they don't have their own thinking capability. If you coach them, it will be difficult. So teaching is good for some, counseling is good for some, consultation is good for some, and coaching is especially good for those who are really wise, those who are elders, but at that moment, they're just confused. You know, lack of clarity here. There's an example, you know, how a coin fell into the lake and mud was raised. It all became muddy and this person is looking for his coin. A sage told him, just wait for some time, let the mud settle. As soon as the mud settled, he could see, he had that ability. The water became transparent, he said, pick up that coin, there's your coin. So he didn't pick it. He asked that person to pick it. So that's coaching. So here, Lord Krishna, he was asked a question, Ko Bhavan, who are you? Lord Krishna did not answer, I am Krishna, appearing in the form of Hamsa. He said, if you think I am a Jiva, then this question is meaningless. Why? Because I am a Jiva, you are a Jiva. So how can one person ask a question to another at the same level? So he asked a counter question. This is a typical coaching model. Why is Lord Krishna using this coaching model? He didn't use it for Arjun, is it not? So what do you think is right? What are the advantages? He's in deep problem. You know, there's a war about to start. So he taught him, teaching model. But for Brahmaji, there's no emergency, there's no war happening. Saying, well, if you're Lord Brahma, the most intelligent person, why are you asking me this question? Ko ashraya? In text number 22, there was, what is ashraya? And so on. And then there are different questions asked by Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma in the subsequent verses. Jad Bharat also, when Rahugana asks him a question, he says, if you are the master and I am the servant in this body, what in the next body I become the master and you become the servant? Is it okay? So then Rahugana also becomes confused. But he knows Rahugana is an intelligent person and probably he knows the answers. So these are some things which I wanted to share in relation to this verse. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari.